You know, every now and then I dust off this old book. You're saying, what is this old book? I wish I could say it was a Bible, but it isn't. It is the book of discipline, the rules of the church. There used to be a lot less of them. And this is actually 150 years old. It's from 1868. An old retired pastor gave it to me many, many years ago. This month, we're going to dust off some things too. Some things that are almost forgotten. Some things that are old. Some things that make life worth living. I don't know where they went. But we're going to be speaking of forgotten virtues, and we're going to open that up with a story from the book of Mark, which we'll get to in just a minute. But I would have you know, before we get to that, one of the great honors of my life has been to be able to be a pastor. It's a huge responsibility, you know, when a funeral director calls you and says, this family's little 12-year-old just died. You don't know them, but they need a pastor. And you go over there and you feel the pressure about that, but at the same time, it is an enormous privilege to be able to share love with people in their greatest moments of need. You know, it is an honor. It is a heavy duty. It is an honor to be the pastor of Hope Church. I can't think of a time that I have felt more burdened to share with you these virtues that we're talking about. And the one we're talking about today is the virtue of honor. You'll find notes on the back of the bulletin about that. Next week, we're going to talk about loyalty, which is a fine thing to do on a weekend. We're celebrating veterans. I mean, can you think of people who would be more loyal? The week after that, integrity, and the last Sunday this month, gratitude, as we thank God for those who have been a blessing to us. But today is about honor. Today is about honor. I talked to a guy one time, and who had been all over the world, and I said, you know, if I traveled throughout the world, which I shan't do because airplanes and me are allergic to one another, but actually, I said, if I did, how would I show honor to people in different countries, and what would be dishonoring? Well, and he said, I can't tell you every place, but if you go to a place like Korea, what you would do when you greeted someone is you would bow slightly, not too low, because that would say that you are less than you are. You'd bow just a little lower than the other person to show honor. And when you shake hands with them, you'd go all the way to the elbow. Didn't know. But that's how you'd show honor. And whenever you would go in, you would always bring a gift and you would present it with two hands, and they would receive it with two hands. Didn't have to be a significant, expensive gift, just something from your heart, a little thing, really, anything. And whenever, wherever you were, you would never, ever, ever show the soles of your feet, because they were considered dirty and filthy and unclean. So in other words, you know, here in America, somebody might be tired at the end of the day working in an office, and they might kick their feet up on their desk. That would be one of the most dishonoring things you could do. And it went on and on. When you travel to a new place, you ought to ask, what would be dishonoring? What would be honoring? And then I said, if you were advising someone from another country who was coming to the United States about what would be honoring and what would be dishonoring, what would you say? And the guy just laughed, and he said something like, I would tell you it doesn't really matter because we don't know anything about honor in the United States. It just doesn't matter. Now, this was one guy's perspective, admittedly, but we do have a culture that is kind of fallen off the train of honor, don't you think? I mean, we dishonor one another. We dishonor things and people all the time. It is amazing. It is amazing. I want to share with you about a time that Jesus was actually dishonored. It is found in Mark 6. He was returning back to his hometown, not his birthplace, the place where he grew up. A year prior to his visit, he was actually run out of town as they tried to put him to death. And they threatened to kill him. And a year later, he comes back to town. He's been on a teaching tour. He has performed miracles. He's teaching God's word. He's turned water into wine. He's made blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, all of those things that are just so amazing. He fed 5,000. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law, which many scholars believe is why later Peter denied Christ three times, but that's another. I'm kidding you. I'm just joking. Okay, just. It didn't. Okay. But he's doing all these miracles, and he comes back to his hometown, and he actually couldn't do very much there because of their lack of faith. Mark 6, verse 1 says simply, Jesus left there where he was at, went on to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did he get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him that he even does miracles? In other words, like, wow, this guy's pretty amazing. This guy is outstanding. This guy is, it is just incredible. And then they said in verse 3, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters among us? And then the next words, they took offense because of him. Come on. It's like saying we remember him when he was a kid. He was just an ordinary guy, except for he was the guy that always got 100% on his exams and made us really mad because he was always nice to the teacher, so he was a little pet. You know, made us mad, you know. Isn't this the same guy that made your kitchen table? Isn't this just an ordinary guy? And Jesus says in verse 4, Jesus said, only in his hometown, among his relatives and his own house, is a prophet without honor. Do you know what an expert on any topic is? That's somebody who has had to drive at least 50 miles. Once they come 50 miles, they are an expert. I mean, only in his hometown. The Greek word that is translated without honor is simply atemos, and it means simply to dishonor, to treat as ordinary or common. You know, if you want an ordinary marriage, treat your spouse without honor. Treat them as common. Just ordinary. Just, you know, they're just kind of something. And people sometimes wonder, in the early years of my marriage, it was so great. Marriage was so great. And now, as we're in year 7, 8, 10, 12, and what happened? I think it's that honor has went away. You used to show honor. I love you so much, Munchkin. Oh, my little honey bunches, you are so... Any of you have names like that for your spouse? Come on now, anybody? Am I the only one that will admit it? Cowards. Okay, anyway. Of course. And suddenly you begin to treat one another as ordinary, and the flip side of dishonor is honor. It is pronounced Time, and what the word means is simply to value, to respect, to highly esteem, to treat as precious or weighty or valuable, to ascribe worth, to esteem, to value. Let me give you an example. One time, probably 25 years ago, maybe not that long ago, 20 years ago, I was giving a message on marriage, and this young couple comes up to me after the service. I say young couple. They'd probably been married 7 or 8 years. And Great message, she said, Pastor. And then she said, I wish he would dust me off as often as he dusts off his motorcycle. And then she informed me that the motorcycle got a prominent place in the living room for the winter. I wish he would, you know, I wish he would. I have a baseball that is rather common and ordinary. I got it a long stinking time ago, probably 40 years ago. See, the thing is, when I got it, it wasn't really common and ordinary. I just didn't realize that. And it has names. If you look carefully, you can see autographs from Jim Northrop, former Tiger, Tony Dungy, you know who that is. If you're a football fan, Mark the Bird Fidrich, he signed it. I was on a weekend with all of these folks, Mickey Stanley and a whole bunch of other folks. I can't even read their name. Charlie Sanders, whole bunch of some of these people are considered celebrities of the baseball and football world. But see, one day, about 5 years after I got this autographed baseball, we were playing catch in the yard, and you know what? The ball came up missing. How it got lost, I don't entirely know, but I said, I've got another ball in the house we can play catch with. And I treated it as something that should have been honored with dishonor. I treated it as ordinary, and you know what? It's more ordinary than it otherwise would have been. You treat something as ordinary, it will become that, you know? Honoring someone, it lifts them up, as opposed to devaluing them. It brings the best out of them. To dishonor is to believe the worst. If you wonder, if you hang out with me, I have a weird habit that I've had for many, many years, and that is to refer to people as saints, you know, like Saint Bonnie, how you doing today? And they always look at me a little bit sideways and say, what are you talking about? Well, a saint is a forgiven sinner for one thing, and for another, if I refer to them as saints, maybe they'll live up to it, amen? You know? But that's not to suggest that Bonnie ever lived below the status of sainthood. Isn't that right, Bonnie? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But really, honor is a very wonderful thing. Many say, I can't treat this person with honor because they are not honorable. I just want you to write this down. Respect is earned. Honor is given. It is your choice. You can honor someone just because of their position. You can honor them freely, but they can't force you to do that. It's up to you. Do you honor them or do you not? You can treat with honor before they live honorably in the hope that bestowing that, they will become greater for what you have done. It lifts them up. It lifts up their spirits because over and over, people have been devalued in our society. Have they not? Jesus says a prophet is without honor. And the very next verse of verse 5, it says, Jesus, this is so sad, could not do any miracles there except for lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. That seems pretty amazing to me. But he couldn't do much, and he was amazed by their lack of faith. Now, what's interesting, it doesn't say he wouldn't. It says he couldn't. Isn't that interesting? He couldn't. In the King James Version, it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He just wasn't even possible. He couldn't do much. And he was amazed at their lack of faith and their lack of honor. What I want you to know is, tragically, we have become a culture that, for the most part, is without honor. It just, we are. And so maybe you wonder, who are we called to honor? And the Bible teaches a lot of different groups. I want to give you three of them just really, really quick. The first group we are called to honor is our parents. honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, if a kid is going to honor their father or mother, they are swimming upstream, because we live in a society that doesn't honor parents very much. That kid is swimming upstream, but how many parents have been so broken by being dishonored, and it dishonors the heart of God too. And we don't just do it when we're little. We can't just do it when we're 3 or 4. We got to do it when we're 13 and 23 and 33 and 53. And what does it mean to honor my parents? You know, maybe my parents were kind of boogers. Well, I hear stories. I'm like, you mean your mom and dad did that? Really? You know, maybe. But what does it mean to honor them? In their old age, it means to make sure that they are taken care of. Doesn't mean that you have to physically care for them. It means you don't leave them in a heap somewhere without protection. It means that... When you have kids and you are talking about your parents, you talk about them in positive ways because you don't want to show them an example of dishonoring your own parents. Respect is earned. Honor is given. And we need to still do that because it is the biblically right thing to do out of a surrendered heart to God. We show honor to our fathers and mothers. Second group we ought to honor is... are those in authority. Now, this is kind of tough to do. Romans 13 talks about honoring governing authorities because sometimes we just don't agree with them at all. We are to show honor. We are to show honor. Romans 13, verse 7 says, tells us to give everyone what you owe him. If you owe respect, give respect. If you owe honor, then honor. 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 We are to give what we owe them. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe honor, honor, respect, respect. I mean, just, wouldn't it be great if we treated police officers that way? I have to admit, my heart races a little bit more when I see that little red bubblegum machine turned on behind me. Does that ever... You've never experienced it, have you? I didn't think you had, no. And so there is a built-in respect. Somehow, honor has a little slight fearful tinge in it for me. That's not a bad thing. That means a respectful thing, I think. A respectful thing. Show honor. Show honor to the coach of your kids. Show honor to the teachers of your kids. Every teacher I know finds parents harder to deal with than they do the kids. Every teacher I know. You know, aren't we all on the same team? See, before you can ever learn to be over someone, you have to learn to be under someone. You really do. You have to learn to be under. You know, ladies, you don't like what your husband's been up to lately. What's the solution? Honor them. Lift them up to where they could be. Men, you're wondering about your wife. Honor her. Third group of people we are called to honor, if you're taking notes. And I hope you'll take this seriously. Maybe it's self-serving. I don't know. We are called to honor pastors and church leaders. Timothy said, the elders who direct the affairs of the church as well, of the church well, are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. If you make cookies, you know, an extra dozen would be appropriate. Okay, that's not what that's talking about. But we are called to honor those in spiritual authority. Why? Will we ever get anything out of anybody that we don't honor? You know, I heard someone say years ago that people treat their pastor kind of like they do Jesus. And I said, well, what do you mean? And they said, you know, if you trust Jesus, you will trust everything about him. You'll read about miracles and you say, yeah, that's cool. You'll read about him ascending into heaven, you'll say, that is so cool. Him rising from the dead, and you'll say, that's so cool. But if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't trust Jesus, you'll see those same things and you'll shake your head and say, somebody's out of their mind. I've heard people say that's how it is with a pastor too. If you trust your pastor, you'll trust most anything. If you don't trust your pastor, you won't trust anything. And see, the thing is, it's up to you. It's up to you. No, nobody can make you trust or not trust. I mean, but how you honor also affects how you see, you know? It affects how you see. That doesn't mean that even if a pastor is honored, there's not critics. There probably always will be critics. Even if a leadership team of a church is honored, there probably will be critics. But I will say this, our leadership team has said to me, Pastor, we're here to encourage you. You show us where you think we ought to go. We'll go. And I'm like, I wish you hadn't said that. It feels like a lot of pressure. You know? But that's a very honoring thing to do. And honestly, it makes me seek God more because I don't want to let any of them down. It lifts me. It lifts me. Paul says in Romans 12:10, I love this, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. You know, have it be a contest. Somewhere you may have somebody watching a child of yours right now, ministering to them. Outdo each other in showing them brotherly or sisterly love. Say to them, thanks for ministering to my kids. You might know somebody who picks up this building after a meal or whatever. Outdo them in showing kindness. The place is clean because they did something. You want a great marriage? Honor your marriage. Now, I want to take a second just for myself and say something to you about those who are very special to me. I really would love to honor my wife, Carrie. Now, frequently you tell me she's probably more effective and works harder than I do. I understand that. And that's okay. I was smart enough to bring her along, wasn't I? You know? But she's very special to me for all of those years we've been married. I undoubtedly believe that I am not the person I would be if it wasn't for the wonderful wife in my life who has always encouraged me, you know? I really believe that. She's the best friend I ever had, and I want to show her honor. I also want to say that the staff we have at this church ought to be honored. Holy cow. Whew. When you move to a church, you sort of inherit a staff. It's kind of like getting married to somebody with kids, you know? And you hope they're well-behaved, you know? The staff is fantastic. They all do their very best. They're just amazing. The leadership team we have here is honorable. They are innovative. They want to try new things. Let's try new stuff, Pastor. I'm all into let's try new stuff. And people will say, what if we fail? Well, we might. But how about the other way? What if we succeed? What if we, you know, we'll never know if we don't try. I'm thank God that our leaders are above that, though. I want to honor something else, someone else. I want to honor the King of Kings. I want to honor the Lord of Lords. I want to honor the Son of God, the risen Christ, the one who gave his life to change my heart. I honor him for changing me into a new creation, for forgiving sins that I could never imagine could be forgiven, for filling me with his Spirit. I honor him. If you wonder why are we a culture without honor, I want to tell you, I think the answer is really easy. The reason our culture is dishonoring is because people don't honor God. As simple as that. All true honor is born of a heart surrendered to the King of Kings. It says in Psalm 22, "You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel." The problem is we treat one another as common. The problem is we treat God as common. The big guy upstairs, you know, 6 pound, 8 ounce baby Jesus. Jesus is my homeboy. I mean, I know God wants us to be comfortable, but God is not ordinary. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming back with a sword. He is the righteous one who shed his blood for us. He is not common or ordinary at all. He is not common or ordinary at all. We need to treat him with honor. Years ago, many years ago, Babe Ruth, back when he was playing baseball, they gave away 7 Babe Ruth home run bats. Did you know that? 7 of them. Just 7. They were autographed. They were home run bats. And the first one disappeared. For 40, 50 years, nobody knew where it was. There were people trying to chase it down and track it down. And there was an old guy who his daddy had won it in a home run contest. And his daddy gave him the bat. And for years and years, he had this treasured possession. And he had no family left. And so when he died, he gave it to his nurse. He said, "You loved me and cared for me when no one else did. I want you to have this." And she threw it under her bed for the next 18 years. And she opened a business and she thought, you know, maybe that bat's worth something. Maybe it's worth something. And so she took it to a local antique place, some place that knew sports memorabilia. And the sports guy looked at it and his jaw dropped. And he thought to himself, "This is bat number one that's been missing all those years. This is bat number one." And he brought someone else out and they looked at it, and someone else, and they all came to the same conclusion, and they auctioned it off in 2006 and sold it for $1.3 million. And she used the money to start a business, but she took the rest to start a foundation for children that Babe Ruth wanted to serve at the end of his life. And someone asked her, "Why did you put all of that money into a foundation to help others?" And she said, "The bat was only valuable because Babe Ruth's name was on it. So the only reasonable thing I could do was something that would honor his life because he made it valuable." What I want you to know is you are valuable only because of what Jesus did for you as a believer when you trusted your life to him, when you turn your heart over to him. The only reasonable response we have is to in turn honor him with our lives. That's all we got. That's all we got. I don't know where you are with him in your life. Maybe you're one of those people that you might say, "Pastor, I'm one of the nuns, one of the not believers." Well, he's ready to receive you. If you're ready to turn yourself over to him, it's as simple as that. "Dear Jesus, forgive my sins." You know, I've known many a person over the years that turned their life over to Jesus as they received Holy Communion. You can do that this morning. All you got to do is say, "Jesus, come into my life. Make me new." If you do that, come and find somebody and tell them about it because they want to celebrate with you. But let's pray a moment. God, we do thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you that you would honor us with your Son. You would make what's less than ordinary honorable. I ask you, O God, help us to live up to that. I ask you to help us to honor those in our life. Father, as each person sits in their chair, they know maybe they've not lived a life that has honored others. Maybe they've not lived a life that has honored you. You all have your eyes closed, and now that you do, if you would like to ask Jesus into your life for the first time, just raise your hand so somebody can note that, because it's a good thing to be noted. Don't be afraid. Father, I just ask you to be with the one who wants to start a new life with you, and be with all of us who would just as soon start over from scratch today. Help us to know we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen.